Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Chapter 4, verse 1. A certain woman, hey, sisters in the Lord tonight, oh, watch, there's great comfort for you tonight. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, has died. And you know that your servant, my husband, feared the Lord. And the creditors, those people that we owe this huge debt to, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be as his slaves." Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has what, everybody?" Nothing. Because that's kind of what we think we bring to this whole thing. Huge crisis. Big needs. What are you going to do, Lord? And God says, "What are you going to do?" "What do you mean, what am I going to do?" "Well, what do you have?" And we're the ones who often look around kind of quickly and we say, "I'll tell you what I got. I got nothing." "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a little jar of oil. This family is in debt because of the main breadwinner is gone and no apparent way to pay the debt. Her two sons now are on the hook." This is most of what we do. Look what I don't have. Look what God's word says. I want you to see what you do have. But it's so small, so insignificant. It's a great word for all of us tonight, especially if there is looming challenge ahead. Watch what he does here, verse 3. "And then Elisha said, 'Well, go borrow vessels from everywhere and from all of your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few, get a whole bunch of them.'" Verse 4, "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it, that little bit of oil that you have, pour it into all those vessels set aside, the full ones." I wonder if she's doing the math in her head. I got this much oil. How many vessels do you want me to bring? What was the word of the Lord? "As much as you can carry." Okay, and then what am I going to do? "You pour it into the vessels, and then when that one is full, then pour the other one." Right. By the way, oil is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, "But we Christians have this huge treasure." And he's speaking of the supernatural light of God. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of his power may be of God and not for us." That New Testament verse, here is your Old Testament model. Well, I only have a little bit. What are we supposed to bring to our huge challenge? My impressive resume, my considerable spiritual giftings, my aptitudes and ability. You know what God says? "I need you to bring just one thing. An empty vessel." And in the midst of our challenge right now, whatever that might be, how many of us can provide at least that? Now watch this. Verse 5. "So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured it out. And now it came to pass when the vessels were full. How many vessels? All the vessels that they could bring. She said to her sons, quick, bring me another vessel. Imagine her just pouring like this. Oh, put the next one. Put the next one. Quick, bring another vessel. And then he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Remember, this study through 1 and 2 Kings has been subtitled God's Kingdom Revealed. Here's a huge principle of God's kingdom. As long as we keep pouring out, God's supernatural provision will be pouring in. When we stop pouring out, God's supernatural provisions will cease. But I don't see or sense the Holy Spirit in my life. I know I've said on an occasion or two. Here's the teaching here. Are you, Steve, providing the empty vessel for him? Are we presenting our empty vessels at devotions in the Word of God? Don't I have to bring Bible dictionaries and commentaries? You can, that's always helpful. But really, the only required thing that you bring to God is what? An empty vessel. Are we presenting our vessels at prayer time? Tuesday nights, Monday through Thursday here, noon to 1 o'clock, or even your own prayer closet? Are we presenting our vessels at fellowship? You guys already passed that test because look what you did. You got here on a Wednesday night, and no small task. But here you are. And I pray that you felt, perhaps as I did, that sense of refilling. Not just being filled. I want you to notice that there's a process happening. You're filled to overflowing. Why? So that you, so that I, so that we can pour out by serving. That we can give away, so to speak, perhaps in intercessory prayer. God says, by all means, pour out your heart. Let your supplications and requests with thanksgiving be known to the Lord. But there's another place in prayer. It's the prayer that goes beyond, Lord, these are the things that are important to me, and God is glad to hear them. And you move into another type of prayer. It's called intercessory prayer. Where your prayers really aren't about what you need. Your prayers, as God lays them on your heart, are the prayers that other people need, but perhaps aren't praying for themselves. Praying for stuff that really has little to do with you, and praying the heart and the move of God into somebody else's situation. It's a wonderful thing of giving away. How about sharing maybe even my testimony? Is there a dryness to my life? Where's the Holy Spirit? I don't see Him. Don't sense Him. Maybe because I haven't been giving out. Maybe because I haven't been sharing about Him. All that God has given so freely to me, time, talent, and resources, do I pour back out for God's work? That's what's being illustrated here, verse 7. So then she came and told the man of God. She said, hey, look at all this oil. I have all these jars and all these vessels. And then he said, go and sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Principle, it's a good place to write it right here. You and I cannot possibly outpour God. When it looked like it was curtains and disaster all around. What do I do? What do I do? And Elisha here models the word of God that you and I have here in our laps. It's the same principle. What do I do? What do I do? God says, what are you going to do? What do you have? And probably something will leap to mind. I have, well, a little bit of this. I have a little bit of that. Maybe it's time. I know that there's people even in this room who are looking for jobs. And boy, I tell you, the creditors are ringing the phones. What do I do? What do I do? Well, what do you have? time. Use that for Him. Time to pray. What do I have? Even if it's just a little, the only requisite to see God's pouring out is bring an empty vessel. Great, great teaching. Verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. King James says, great. As you know, in many of these ancient cultures, women, as a rule, were sort of never really talked about in these terms. To be sure, there were formidable women all through history. But as you know, most of these cultures, they sort of overlooked women to a large degree. The fact that this prophet here, in the form of Elisha, and cataloged here in our Bible at this time, is pretty amazing, pretty special. And by the way, wherever the gospel has gone, so has women's rights expanded. If you don't know that, it's a fun study in history. And there are people that look at the Bible and they say, no, no, the Bible puts a terrible burden on women. Oh, do our homework and our due diligence. Wherever the gospel has gone, the freedom and the rights and influence of women has also been noticed in no small measure. She is a notable woman. And she persuaded him to eat some food.